What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, Virginia, as the Commanders get ready for a Week 9 tilt against the New York Football Giants. Good morning, Brian Mitchell. How do you do?
I am fantastic, brother. How are you?
You know what? I'm grooving today.
Grooving?
I had a 7 a.m. dentist appointment.
Wow, mine's at 3 today.
That's bizarre. We both have a dentist appointment today?
Yeah.
That is incredibly weird, right?
Follow up from...
Oh, because you cracked your tooth.
Well, no, I had a cleaning 2 weeks ago, and then they'd like you to come in to make sure everything healed properly.
When did you crack that joint? When you were in, like, a little bit of pain?
That was before I went to Tampa.
Okay, all right. I remember that. I'm a big believer in flossing. It's one of the few self-care things I really do. Mm-hmm. I just like the way it feels.
You like the way it feels?
I like getting all the gunk out between your teeth, man.
I try to do it every day. I got those little picks.
You know, the picks? The
I
picks
got the
are a
this morning,
game
the
changer
brush
for flossing.
Did not know it was going to be a conversation today, but we got it going on, huh?
Well, dude, I didn't realize.
Brought to you by Dentistry.
I hadn't been to the dentist in 2 years.
That's how I was for that cleaning.
I just kind of forgot. I thought I had been. And then, luckily, I'm still all Gucci. No cavities, no nothing. So we're grooving.
Well, it's just like, you know, when we had the COVID going on, I didn't want nobody all right here.
Yeah,
you
that's fair.
I mean? I backed off of them a little bit.
But it is weird. They put this fluoride on my teeth, and it just your mouth feels like it's stuck together. So I actually have a toothbrush with me in case it impacts our ability to speak, in which case I'm just going to brush that gunk off. Shout out to Dr. Kwan, though. Appreciate you. Let's check in with the chat. Who is first this morning? Boom. Who do you think it is, B?
Tay.
Mass destruction.
Mass destruction.
Kind of intense. Hip, hip, hooray for Bleep You Day,
uh-oh.
Jim Zorn style. It is Bleep
please,
You Thursday.
Do not mention Jim Zorn again, please.
I have a very specific Bleep You for when we get there. We're going to do Bleep You Thursday at 1 o'clock. Josh Kendall from The Athletic is going to join us at 10:30. Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports, is going to join us at 11:30. Don't look now, but the Wizards have won two in a row. And last night, dropped 130 on Atlanta. Bilal Coulibaly looks good.
Cavs were 6-2. Commanders were 6-2. Are the Wizards going to 6-2?
That would be nuts. Yo, how about
they're 2-2 now?
We got to talk about you getting in a 2-2. If the Wiz get to 6-2,
you know
I'll throw a 2-2 on.
I am sitting there this morning, and I get a notification. Damn, Landfill. I just started laughing.
What was it?
It said, if the Commanders get 5 more wins, B. Mitch would be wearing this would be his uniform. Somebody said, I fell out laughing. So, Landfill, thank you for making me laugh this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Landfill.
You're not talking to us?
No problem. I mean, it's the truth. I just got to let the people know.
Hey, I almost retweeted. I said, nah, I'm not going to retweet this one.
The deal is, if the Commanders win 11 games, B. Mitch is supposed to put a 2-2 on. I think it's – they're at 6 right now, and they got 9 to play. It is quite possible. We don't need to get too far
I better
far
go start
now.
Doing some curls, some toe raises, and I'll get my calves right.
I haven't checked your calves in a while, but your arms are pretty jacked. I wouldn't worry about the curls. Did you
toe
watch
– Toe raises.
Toe raises, sure. Go for it.
You don't have to worry about no curls when you got on the damn 2-2. You got to worry about your legs looking good.
I just retweeted that, Landfill. Well done. The B. Mitchell Finley account. all right. Obviously, we're going to get heavy into the Commanders. We're going to hear specifically from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt today, the offensive and defensive coordinators respectively for Washington. We're also now only like 5 days out from the trade deadline. There's a game in between, which I don't think would dictate a lot of things. But certainly, I think trade deadlines with good teams. Like, you saw the Vikings get very active to go get a tackle because they lost Darius. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You hope that doesn't become the case. But sometimes injuries will dictate how aggressive you want to be towards the trade deadline. Plenty of time to kind of look at all that stuff and specifically to talk about the Giants. Washington, 3.5-point favorite on the road in the Meadowlands. I'd love to know the last time that happened. But, Brian, did you watch the World Series last night?
I did not watch any of the World Series. I was eating steak.
Shout out to our friend Pete Brascia. Really nice
person. Turned 65 years old.
I think it was 60.
I thought it was 65.
You say what you want. I believe it was 60.
Nah, it was 60. I was messing with him the whole night.
They had a really nice party for him over at MGM National Harbor. And sitting outside there and watching the sunset over the river.
That's nice.
It was really pretty. Yeah. And then I had to go to work, and then you guys went and got steaks.
Yeah. I had a regular size one, then I had a JP steak.
A little guy?
Nah, I didn't have a JP steak. I should have. I would have had enough ounces if I'd eaten your steak plus the time I eat.
I would have split one with Bees, probably. That would have been my move.
Nah, Bees destroyed his. He destroyed it.
I went into NBC4, and have you ever heard of this restaurant, Holy Cow, in Delray in Alexandria?
No.
So it's a burger, shakes, beers spot. And they like to do kind of pop culture moments in time burgers, and they come up with a special burger for the day. And so they had them in at Channel 4 because they came up with a Hail Mary burger.
Oh.
And we were eating them. Eating live on television is – there's no good way to do it. Like, you just look like a slob.
Well, you just – hey, I do it live on stream every day.
I know you do.
Listen, man, people got to understand. Lunchtime comes – especially when you do an intermittent fasting.
Sure.
When you hit 12, can't wait till 2.
I get it. This burger, though, was banging. So it was Angus all-beef patty, big joint, bacon, a fried egg, barbecue sauce, cheddar cheese, and an onion ring on top.
And you took off the onion ring.
No, I ate it.
You
when
did?
Something like that is all put together, I don't – cooked onions are closer to doable for me. Raw onions is a problem, but cooked I can kind of
If you
can
eat an onion ring, which is just the batter is just fried around the damn ring, that you can eat live raw onions.
I'm allergic to raw onion.
No, you're not.
Yes,
if
I
you're
am.
You're allergic to onion.
Self-declared.
You're allergic to onion. You crazy, dude.
JW in the chat says JP was farting like crazy.
I just saw that.
Can't confirm or deny, buddy. It was a hell of a hamburger.
Well, we should get some of those today.
Maybe we can make that happen. They were quite good. But they're going to give us food out here. Also, Parrothead Drew to bring a tailgate in tomorrow. I don't know if we're up for that. We can discuss.
I'm up for any time. Landfill, are we up for bringing in food?
Sure.
All right. There you have
anytime
it.
Anytime somebody want to bring some food, because Drew always brings other stuff with the food.
Well, Drew's talking about, like, tomahawk ribeyes and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, Drew, don't worry about JP. Hell yeah. What you say, Landfill?
Sure.
Landfill must be busy.
Landfill, are you what's wrong with you, man? Did you eat a gummy or something this morning?
Ooh, the old morning gummy. Aggressive.
He's delayed in everything he does today.
Well, maybe Jeff's not there, and maybe he's just like taking in the silence. I think we have Toby this morning.
Okay.
Tobo, you there? Maybe Landfill's on his own.
All right.
All right, we're going to stop going back to
DC. Messing with Landfill then.
Yeah, there we go. Something's going on back there.
Let our man take care of his thing.
World Series last night. Yankees get up 5-0. Then the Dodgers load the bases.
Uh-huh.
They strike Shohei out with the bases loaded. But that was only the first or second out. They're up 5-0. They proceed to have this like series of little league BS, Bush League nonsense.
All that because
errors.
That little bastard grabbed that damn ball out of Mookie the other night. And then
Think it was
it's karma. And I'm listening to Gronkowski because that idiot went to high school.
They were college buddies.
He's talking about the guy is a beauty. He's not a beauty. He's an ass is what he is.
Dude, it was so the Yanks give up 5 in the 5th, I believe. And then all of a sudden it's a tie game, right? I guess the Yankees scored 3 and then a pair of solo shots, I think, to get up to 5. So then it's a tie game. Yanks take the lead in the bottom of the 6th. They get through the 7th inning, Brian, and you know what I do? Because I have a 7 a.m. dentist appointment.
Went to sleep.
I went to sleep.
Yeah.
Dodgers score 2 in the 8th, go on to win 7-6. I never thought the Yankees bullpen was good enough to win this. I think Aaron Judge never got hot. And if you're going to make little dumb mistakes, and I think Judge had a huge error. Garrett Cole made some really – the Yankees just never seemed – locked in enough to beat the Dodgers, who are an absolute wagon. Freddie Freeman is just outrageous.
I mean, Mr. What they call him? What the person said? What you call it when you get the teeth? What they call those? The
veneers.
They call it Mr. Veneer. they say his teeth are so big he could close his mouth.
Yeah. It's,
but you know what? He know how to put a bat on a damn ball. I'll tell you that.
Dude.
Six straight homers in six straight games in the World Series.
Those are some chompers he's got.
Hell yeah.
Baseball's over, though. And it had me thinking this morning because, like, right now, I did a hit with Linnell last night, and he asked me how good of a time is this to be a D.C. sports fan. And it got me thinking, and certainly, listen, the NFL is the most popular sport in America, and the Commanders are the most popular team in town. And it's by a fairly wide margin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when they're good, and especially right now where it seems like you might have a transcendent quarterback and a coaching staff that is delivering on all of their messaging and front office leader that is finding the right players. Like, everything seems to be breaking right. And if that happens in football, it's going to make everything feel a lot better.
Yes.
Caps are playing really well. Ovi's on track maybe to even break that record this year. The Wiz shockingly look pretty good. And then I'm like, huh, baseball season's over, which means the next time we see them, the Nats, what some people keep telling me, might finally spend some money.
Let's see.
I don't know that I see it happening, but
I'm the type of person I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and dude, I've grown a little tired of the they had to trade Juan Soto and they got so much back crowd, because you know what would have happened in the 5 years Soto's been gone? Maybe they just win more games and maybe they make a wild card because they have Juan Soto. Like, mm-hmm. and of the haul they got back, I'm not entirely sure how great it really is. Like, Mackenzie Gore did not have the year many expected. I don't know. We don't need to get too far down the rabbit hole, because none of it will matter if ownership is not committed to spending money. And we'll just have to see if that happens. I'll believe it when I see it. Yep. That's what it sounds like you are, too.
I am right there.
We've probably gone too long on October 31st to not wish everyone a happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. Be careful out there tonight. I'm going to just say that.
I know. You don't like Halloween, right?
I have no problem with it.
You don't like giving away candy.
I don't like having to get up every 5 minutes, so.
But your neighborhood's so big. Are there that many kids walking around? Like, people, the lots are so big.
People come in my neighborhood, and they ride. They come to, and they have, like, a caravan of kids in trucks and golf carts and everything else.
Okay.
Maya's going to take care of that.
Maya'll be great at that.
Cool.
And you'll be sitting on the couch watching football?
Probably with a bourbon.
I got to get home to walk around for some trick-or-treating tonight.
I used to go to the – back in the day when my kids were small, we would go to the mall.
Really?
Farrell's Mall always had the little thing. It was cool walking to the stores.
That's fun. We just do our neighborhood. It's funny how complicated Halloween has gotten, and, like, kids are going – maybe this is coming for me down the road, but my 9-year-old, Shelby, got invited to go to, like, a different neighborhood to be with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very sweet. She was like, nah, I just want to walk around our neighborhood with you guys. I don't know how much longer we'll have that. Eventually, she's not going to want to hang out
just
with me.
Just hold on
at
to
all.
Her. It's about to leave. Though.
I know.
It's
I
about
know.
To leave.
But the girls are very excited. Halloween party at school, the whole nine yards. Got me thinking, to me, this is not much of a question, but do you have a favorite Halloween candy?
Favorite Halloween candy.
There's a lot I like, but there's a runaway of my one seed.
What's your one seed? Reese's Cups? No,
Kit Kats.
Kit Kats.
The Kit Kat Halloween size, like, the fun size, is the best product Kit Kat
Well,
makes.
You know the Snicker with the two pieces in the pack?
Yeah.
The big one? And Bobby Mitchell used to always hand out Snickers all the time right there. And I would just hold on to all of them throughout,
like,
the year.
Around Halloween? Or he always had
Snickers?
It's
like he always had them on a plane, and I would hold them, and he'd give you extra. And then Halloween, I would give those out.
That's
when
funny.
I used to
So
care.
What, you were just recycling Bobby Mitchell's Snickers?
If he giving them to me in bulk, why the hell am I going to eat them all? I eat one of them. I like to freeze them. Well, what I do, I cut off the nougat. Then I freeze the... The caramel and the peanut part with a little chocolate on it, and I like to eat it when it's cold and hard. You know what I mean?
That is a remarkable amount of effort. So you're actually getting all these little Snickers out and slicing the top layer
off. No, I just got out the two that I was going to eat. I don't eat all of them. I saved the rest for Halloween.
That is a remarkable act of austerity, I would say. You are playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers. You're saving up all year.
He would have tons bars. Of them. He would have them, not all year, like during the football season.
Okay.
So, and he would be, it would come closer to Halloween, which if he has, let's say, 100 of them, people didn't really grab them. I just grab a big hand, boom. And by the time Halloween come, I got a big bag like that. And then I'll go buy some more if I have to. So,
I think we're giving a bunch of candy away. We might be the house, though, because we both want to go with the girls trick-or-treating that has to do the bowl. And you know that just some, like, 13-year-old boy is going to run through the bowl. Like,
no, and see, sometimes I have to just – we have a little thing that says trick-or-treat, smell my feet or whatever. It's like a little thing with 2 feet sitting out. And we just put it in and let people grab it themselves. And, you know, the kids,
sometimes these kids will take like
yeah, they tried it. I was just sitting outside. And I was in because my car, you know, my car's always in the front part of my
yeah,
house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm just sitting in the car. I had dark tinted windows and they run there.
The
guy goes, we're going to take all the candy. I said, I wish you tried. I rolled the window down.
I bet you scared the hell out of that kid.
Locked on Law said the best candy is any candy you can take from the kids in the interest of safety.
No, you call it dad tax, and you take as much as you want. I've been doing it. I think my kids – there's also the amount of Halloween celebration has really, really exploded over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids did a trunk or treat. They've had, like, various activities where it's like a Halloween party. So this is generally when my health and diet go to die for the yeah. football season. I kind of keep it together till Halloween, and then I have such a sweet tooth – that I just eat all the little candies, and tonight will be a disaster. But listen, if you are a father and you're listening to this and you have young children, you can take as much candy as you want, and you call it the dad tax. That's the reality of the situation.
Oh, it was one of those.
Lanville, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
I like Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
What?
I don't
– Yeah.
I am a chocolate guy over, like, a gummy fruit – candy
Ooh,
guy.
I gotta find
but the Sour Patch Kids can be good. I don't mind one or two. Do we have Toby today, or are you solo in there?
Toby's here.
Hello, Toby. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Yeah, I'm going to lean with you, JP. Kit Kats are unrivaled. Kit Kats are fantastic at any time, but those small ones, like you're saying, are the best ones.
The little, it's like two prong of a Kit Kat, and what I like to do most, this my dad did this, it wasn't always Halloween. We just have bags of Kit Kats in the fridge. I like them in the refrigerator, not the freezer. So they're chilled, but not like frozen. I can't recommend those enough. They're fantastic. Also, Heather McDonough, if you're listening, you were out of the office for a few days, not feeling well. I did eat that whole bag of Kit Kats you had at
so
NBC4.
You stealing somebody else's Kit Kat?
I'm telling her. It's not really stealing.
Oh, it is stealing.
You it was kind of out for everybody.
Dude, you've already taken it, so that's stealing. What the hell are you talking about?
Listen, here's the truth. You can't... I cannot be trusted left alone in a room with Halloween-sized Kit Kats. That's just the truth of the matter, man.
Or, in other words, you just can't be trusted.
Not with Kit Kats. No. That's the reality of the situation.
I don't understand it, Jay.
I love them.
Should not have sticky fingers, brother.
I love them. I am a Kit Kat gremlin. Correct. I did try to I try to return the favor with the Kit Kat purchase, theft, if you want to call it that. But when I went to Wegmans, they didn't have any. So
in other words, SOL, you never replaced it, which means it is your fault.
Do you eat those too, JP?
What's that?
Do you eat those too?
At Wegmans?
Did you steal those ones too?
No, at a store, you got to pay for it. If your friend if your friend buys them, you can just
but
help yourself.
You don't know who to kick out before in that refrigerator. That's not your friend.
At the office?
Yeah.
You're talking old stuff, man. That was years ago.
Yeah, last year.
Statute of limitations, baby. we are talking football next. Josh Kendall from The Athletic joins the program. Right now, you're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. We are excited to welcome in Josh Kendall from The Athletic via the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find the most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app. Josh, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
We're good, man.
We are doing well up here, dude. It's a very different feeling to be at Halloween and know that the Commanders are a very legitimate playoff team. As somebody that covers the whole NFL, what have you seen from this Washington team?
Well, I mean, I've been as surprised as anybody, frankly. I don't think anybody expected, you know, 6-2, Jaden Daniels playing as well as he has, as quickly as he has. You know, Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury hires got a lot of, you know, people looking down their nose at him how many months ago now? And, you know, suddenly they look very smart. I think Dan Quinn is a guy who was a good fit from a confidence, get some juice back into the building for a franchise that needed it. And Cliff, you know, we can all go back through Cliff's record and we can pick apart the way seasons have finished. But right now, they look really good.
It's really interesting you bring that up because you're totally right. I mean, people in town, when the hire got made, everybody was screaming about Ben Johnson. Obviously, that went sideways. They go with DQ. And I know Ron Rivera. I like Ron Rivera as a person. But it's almost like Dan Quinn is delivering what Ron said he would. It's so easy to throw around the culture word, but it's kind of happening now.
Yeah.
And I think D.C. fans and maybe across the country folks were like, you can't do this retread stuff. But DQ seems to be a different type of cat, man.
I think he's done what they expect players to do. If something gets stale, they expect the player to reinvent themselves. I think both he and Cliff did that.
Yeah, I think Dan has learned some lessons, but I also think this is who Dan was in Atlanta. I mean, Dan got a lot of juice flowing in Atlanta. The Falcons, we all remember 28-3, but he got the Falcons to the Super Bowl and to the verge of winning a Super Bowl. Not a lot of people have done that. He did a good job for a time in Atlanta, and then, you know, after 28-3, and then the next season, then it starts to, you know, kind of come apart, and then all of a sudden the coach bro stuff and the, you know, the slogans on the t-shirts and all that stuff doesn't go over as well. That stuff wears thin after 5 or 6, 7 years. But in the beginning, when you're coming in the building and you're firing everybody up and you believe in everybody and you're giving some players who have kind of been kicked around for a while some confidence, that's bound to help.
I agree. And then you add in a rookie quarterback that's taking the league by storm. What do you make of, I mean, I know you cover the Falcons and you're all over the league, but of Jaden Daniels so far?
He's been fantastic. I mean, I think that he and Cliff have been a perfect marriage. There were a lot of people, if you go back and look, not a lot of people, but there were enough smart people who said, yes, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick, but don't forget about Jaden Daniels. But we believe that Jaden Daniels could be the best of this bunch for X, Y, and Z, one of which being he's played a lot of football. One of which being he's NFL ready on the deep ball. He's got something that we know he can do this. We know that this works in NFL systems. And if they'll give him a chance to sort of, you know, let that be his comfort zone and then build everything else around it, he can have success and he can maybe have early success. Nobody expected it to be this early, though.
Nah, nobody expected this early. But when he was coming out, it was all the knocks on he takes a lot of sacks. I haven't seen that so far this season.
He's done a really good job of protecting himself, and he did take – it was not even so much that he took a ton of sacks in his college career, but he took so many just spectacular sacks. I mean, he just got – more than anybody I can remember recently, he got blown up several times. And you worried
Bama
that
– the Ole Miss hit.
Yeah. I mean, you worried that just one of those in the league, and that would be the end of his season. That's a legitimate worry. But – he has done a really good job of protecting himself. They put him in position to protect himself. And so far, knock on wood, I mean, you know, nobody except maybe Dallas fans, you know, want to see this kid's season stop short. I mean, this is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Actually, I just saw this from a dude named Ryan Cooley is where I'm seeing it. He does data for PFF. There was all this talk about Jaden's pressure-to-sack ratio coming out of college. Right now, his pressure-to-sack percentage is 17.5%. That's 11th best in the NFL. So very far from a concern.
Yeah.
Dude, Josh, let's zoom out a little bit and talk about the NFC as a whole. I'm looking at your power rankings from The Athletic this week. You go Lions 1, and there's an easy case to be made. Green Bay, You go Lions, KC, Green Bay, Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore, then Washington. As we kind of get closer to these, not playoffs, but like at least seeding and getting some semblance of what's going to happen, Washington's got a big NFC East matchup this week. Obviously, winning the division is paramount because then you're at least getting one home playoff game, probably two. How do you think the NFC East race is going to stack up between Washington and likely the Eagles?
Well, I think that'll be fascinating, but I think that Washington, I mean, right now I feel very comfortable telling you that the Lions are the best team in the NFC. I don't have that same comfort level at number two. I mean, I could make an argument for the Packers, as I have, but I could argue that the Commanders are in there. I could argue that if the Eagles have really figured things out on offense and given, you know, have figured out a way to put Jalen Hurts in a better situation to have more success, they could be that number two team. That is still a stacked roster. I'll be fascinated to see who sort of settles as the, you know, the next best in the NFC once we get to the playoffs. It absolutely could be Washington.
Well, if Washington gets another win too, does that kind of change things a little bit for you?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the next 2 weeks, if they're sitting at 8-2.
Well, dude, especially with the Steelers looming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing for the Commanders from my perspective. You know, you've got to start thinking about playoffs. I mean, this the season, the complexion of this season has changed. You know, I think you need to not, you know, yes, you know, each week is its own season, blah, 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 blah. You want to get yourself in the best position you can, et cetera, et cetera. But this team at now, I think, is going to be judged on what happens late in the season, not what happens in this middle point. You got to get through, but you got to keep getting better and put yourself in position to capitalize because as much as you think Jaden Daniels is going to transform this team for the next 15 years, look how great things are going to be. We've seen cases where that doesn't materialize. You've got to strike when you've got opportunity, and they've got opportunity this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think it necessarily means with the trade deadline looming in 5 days or whatever that you have to get super aggressive. But the focus does need to be on tightening up things now, right? Like,
yes.
We've been talking a lot because Washington's red zone efficiency has been a problem. And I'm not suggesting that it's a do or die, fix this, or you won't win another game. But, like, if you want to play deep into January, those are the kind of things that you got to fix up.
Right, and why not? You know, it's been a long time since you've been in this position. Why not, you know, see what you can do?
For sure. When you look ahead to the trade deadline, do you think there's been a lot of activity already? Is there another big name out there that you think could get moved? And do you see Washington making any moves?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you, you know, if the Commanders don't strike me as the obvious target. I think for everybody in the NFC, the obvious concern is that Detroit is going to make a big move for a pass rusher to replace Aiden Hutchinson. I think that, you know, if you're Washington, do you feel like you need to make a move to keep pace with something like that? I don't know if they're quite in that spot yet. But for me, the, you know, pass rushers moving is probably, we've seen the wide receiver run. That's probably about over. I think you'll see some pass rushers change hands. Cleveland may be offloading Za'Darius Smith. I don't think they'll offload Myles Garrett, but we'll see. But I think if you're Washington or anybody else who's fashions himself as an NFC contender, you hope that the Lions don't get a deal done for somebody who's an elite edge player.
Sure.
Yeah. And who you think, other than somebody from Cleveland, because both of those guys people would think would be obvious, anybody else out there that seems to be somebody that they would try and go after?
Well, this doesn't necessarily work for the Commanders because I'm not sure about, you know, how willing Giants would be to trade in the division. But I wonder there, not a Dexter Lawrence, obviously, they're holding on to him, but a guy like Azeez Ojulari, just a guy who can make a difference on the fringes. That for me is a guy that I wonder if he finds a new home.
Dude, we talked about the Giants as a potential seller yesterday, and what does that mean? Like, is it just gets harder and harder for me to see that ownership's really going to stick with their current leadership to allow them to go through the rebuild when, whether it was begrudgingly or not, they paid Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? Last one for me. You're in Atlanta. You're covering the Falcons. That team all of a sudden looks to be on the inside track to win the division. They're 5-3, playing some decent football. What do the Falcons have this year?
You know, they have a little bit of hope. They're on the next rung down from hope rung down from the Commanders. This is not a team. I don't think in Atlanta that is an NFC contender. Is an NFC Championship game contender. They've certainly put themselves in position in the NFC South. But Atlanta's got six sacks. You talk about things that, you know, put a cap on your competitiveness down the road. Atlanta's got six sacks this season. They're on pace to have the second fewest sacks in the NFL since at least
eight games. Have they had a bye?
No. They have six sacks. They're averaging 0.75 sacks a game. Baker Mayfield threw 50 passes last week and did not get touched. Not only just didn't get sacked, they didn't get a quarterback hit. So this is still a team in Atlanta that has got some flaws that will eventually be fatal. But the Kirk Cousins experience has been what they thought it would be. He has made the offense a professional offense. They have been fun to watch, which they haven't been in a while. You know, probably going back to when Dan Quinn was the head coach here. So Atlanta fans are happy with what they've got. I don't expect them to be big movers at the trade deadline because I don't think that they are quite in the realm with the teams that we've been talking about in the NFC right now.
That is really, really poor production getting after the quarterback.
Six sacks.
Hey, Josh, thanks for your time, man.
Appreciate
really enjoyed you, it. We'll have to do it again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Appreciate you.
That is Josh Kendall from The Athletic. Give him a follow. That's really bad. At Josh The Athletic on X. 11:30, Chase Hughes joins us talking some Wiz. Wiz are hot. Don't go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. Hey, B, you remember how much fun we had watching Hard Knocks off-season Giants edition?
Yeah.
Where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll just gave us wild stuff every episode. You remember how much it seemed like Daboll liked Jaden Daniels?
Oh, he did.
And listen, I can't imagine I need to do this, but just in case you're listening to this program and don't know who the people are we're talking about, Brian Daboll is the Giants head coach, and Joe Shane is the Giants general manager. Washington takes on the Giants this weekend in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. You got to hear this. Daboll was asked yesterday about facing Jaden Daniels. And if you remember, Daboll kind of tried to pop quiz Jaden Daniels.
And he got pop quiz.
And he just gave one of the best answers ever. And now knowing Jaden a little bit, it's just so earnest how he responded. Daboll gave him some like wild scenario, and he's like, what would you do? And he's like, throw a touchdown? And I just thought that was so great. And then, if you remember Joe Shane, they showed him on draft day, and he has three or four young children, and one of his kids are like, Dad, you got to get Jaden Daniels. He's the best player. And Shane was just like, yeah, thanks, dude.
Maybe he's not smarter than his kids.
I don't think
he's not smarter than the fifth grader.
Well, the reality of the matter is Jaden wasn't available. Like,
yeah, it wasn't.
Mark Davis has said Max Crosby's not available. Please stop talking to me about trades. That's basically what Adam Peters told the rest of the NFL when it came to Jaden Daniels on draft
day.
Yes,
indeed.
Now, this week's a little more interesting because the Giants at 2-6 are facing the Commanders at 6-2. Giants head coach Brian Daboll spoke yesterday and was asked about Commanders rookie quarterback sensation Jaden Daniels.
You obviously liked what you saw of Jaden coming into the draft, then you got to see him in week two. What have you seen in his development since then, now that this will be the second time you see him?
Well, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league already. He's got great vision. He can throw the ball in any area he needs to throw it. He can throw it under pressure. He can escape, make plays with his feet. He can escape, make plays with his arms. He's got good command, which we knew. He was a smart guy when we spoke with him. He's playing really well at a high level. And you know, you can tell there's a lot of confidence in him. He has a lot of yards per attempt, 8.5, which is really good. Makes good decisions. He does a lot of good things.
So I heard that yesterday, and then I saw this tweet from Ben Standing. He tweeted the video out, and he just said, Brian Daboll talking about Jaden Daniels with the enthusiasm of someone having tuna fish on wheat toast at lunch for the 8th consecutive day. I just thought that was perfect. Daboll is clearly so pained at the prospect of Washington landing this quarterback and him being stuck with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Like, it's so obvious how unhappy he is with the quarterbacking situations of the two teams facing off this week.
Let's be real, man. They were, in a way, forced to make that deal with Daniel Jones. And then they tried to get out of it even after they had just done it the year before.
So
it tells you a lot.
Specific to Brian Daboll, I'll quote Taylor Swift and just say, I get drunk off jealousy. Like, him being mad about the Commanders quarterback situation, like anyone being jealous of the Washington professional football organization quarterback situation just feels great because it's been a long damn time.
It's been a long time, and we've always felt jealous. So.
But specific to that they had no choice, I remember Armand we used to work with?
Yeah.
I remember Armand telling me they had no choice but to Supermax John Wall, and they have no choice but to Supermax Brad Beal. And Giants fans, especially after the win in Minnesota in the playoffs, they got no choice but to pay Daniel Jones. You always got a choice. You always got a freaking choice.
You got a
man.
Choice, but you know what? Sometimes, man, it's just you look at him and you start looking around and you say, well, he's in our system. We're going to pay him. That could be a problem. But that's what I mean by they get forced. They were forced into it.
I think, listen, sometimes you get a Kirk Cousins in Washington situation where they were forced to pay him and probably should have and didn't.
Yeah.
And they tried to figure their own way out of it. When the most dangerous thing in the NFL is when you have a somewhere between decent to good or maybe even quite good quarterback and then you pay them quarterback money,
you really
put your franchise
handcuff
back.
Yourself.
We don't have to worry about that.
No.
and now it's like, this is a whole different, this is like.
But I just love his whole demeanor and the way he is more than anything. I think we've had and we've seen people come along that you just know this person is not going to do what they're supposed to do.
All right, here is what we're going to do. Washington heading to the Meadowlands to take on the Giants. Vegas got them as 4-point favorites, 3.5, depending where you're shopping. Washington 6-2, New York is 2-6. New York hasn't won a game at the Meadowlands all year. I think both their wins are on the road. How confident are you in Washington this week? How do you feel about this game?
You asking me? Are you asking the folks?
I'm asking everybody. We'll do it next. Phone line's open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067.